All right, my friends, it is so wonderful that we're all here this evening as we continue through this Lenten season. And so as we are gathered here today, let us remember the day that we were brought into this family of God in baptism as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this evening, Lord, and we come knowing that we are full of sin, Lord, but that you are full of grace, that we have fallen short, Lord, but you kept the law perfectly for us and give us credit for it while taking our sin upon yourself. Lord, we thank you so much that you have made it possible for us to be in your presence as your perfect children, perfect with your perfection. Lord, we pray that you would be here among us tonight. Help us, Lord, as we learn and grow, and help us, Lord, to worship you. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our... Does everybody have bulletins? Okay, very good. Just making sure. Let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us the forgiveness that we need. He died on the cross. He suffered in our place, and he exchanges our sin for his perfection. And so in him we receive new life, and I announce the grace of God to you by... Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's sing. Please be seated. First reading for tonight is Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. And the sermon text for today is James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that have issues with God. You know, the Bible says a whole bunch of stuff, and there's people in the world who kind of go through the Bible and they kind of say, well, I like that and I don't so much like that. And the trouble with that is, of course, that they're arguing with God, which generally never works out well for us. You know what I mean? When you're taking issue with the one who made everything, holds everything together, created each and every one of us, knows how we act best, what makes our life best, and lovingly and kindly and gently tells us, arguing with him just doesn't make a lot of sense. He's the God of truth. And I really want to be clear about this. God, all truth is God's truth. You understand that? I mean, whether it's scientific truth, whether it's truth about morals, whether it's truth about anything in this world, all truth is God's truth because God made it all. He doesn't have problems with any of it. In fact, fearing God is the beginning of knowing truth, right? And so as we go into this lesson today, we kind of have to face truth. And here's the thing is that, you know, I love it because on the rail of the lectern here, it has something here that reminds me of my job. And what it says right here is that, sir, we want to see Jesus. And you know, I can get up here and I can tell you all the things I think, but that really wouldn't help you much. My job is to show you Jesus. But did you know you guys have a job too? That when you guys come into God's house, you have a role in this whole thing. Your role is to receive God's word. Sounds easy, doesn't it? And it isn't until you try. All right? Because here's the thing, is that God's word has stuff in it that's hard to hear. Hard to hear because God has really high standards. His You know, his expectation for us, the description of his will in Scripture, is that of perfection. That means that we get it all right all the time. It's a little hard on us because we get it right about almost none of the time. You know, I mean, we really struggle with getting it right. And so God is giving, or James, you know, God through James is giving us a little instruction in right today in this text about how to properly receive his word, how to prepare your hearts to receive the word of God. You ready for this? He says, first of all, he says, pay attention. This is really important. Don't miss this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, tell me this. Why on earth would James have to start there when he's talking about us hearing God's word? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Well, let's start talking about money and see how many people get angry. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because that matters to me. You're poking at something that I care about. You know, or maybe it's not money. Maybe it's your time. You know, maybe it's your recreation and the things that you're doing that are fun and fine, except that they're taking up all your time, so you have nothing left for God or the people around you, right? I mean, what is it that God is poking you at about, you know, from his word, telling you what his expectation is, and all of a sudden we realize that we're falling far from it, and now we want to tangle with God because we don't like what he's telling us, right? Only it's a little harder than that because here's the thing. A lot of times people don't see God when I'm reading God's word. They see me. And I'm easy to argue with, right? I mean, I'm just a guy. I'm not even a very perfect guy. You know what I mean? So if you want to argue with me, you can make yourself feel really good because you probably could, you know, do a fairly good job arguing with me. You might even win. But did you really get anywhere? But we can argue, we can talk, we can defend, we can protect, we can do all the things that we're not supposed to do when God walks in and says, look, this isn't right. This is where you need to be, right? And so we argue and we fight, or we just get angry and hostile. I mean, have you seen anybody do that? Absolutely. When somebody says, when God says, when he reveals to you, you're not doing well, and you're like, what are you talking about? I'm not doing well. I'm one of the good people. You know, I'm here every Sunday morning, right? I give money to the church. I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. What are you talking about that I'm not doing well, right? And we get angry. We get confrontational. And what does James say about that? He says, does anger create the righteousness that God wants from us? No, it does not. Anger puts up boundaries, barriers, walls, keeps, you know, the Holy Spirit out, keeps anything from happening or changing, because after all, I am in full defense mode at this point. So what does he say? He says we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because the human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, but we should be eager to get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. Anybody want to argue with that? That the moral evil and filth is just prevalent in our world. It's just everywhere. Yeah, it's absolutely everywhere. And here's the thing. What God is trying to guard us from is for that stuff to seep into our lives. And it happens so easily. And it happens so slowly. I mean, it's like you drive down the interstate and you see a picture that I wish I could unsee now. Thanks a lot. And then you're listening to the radio and you're hearing a whole bunch of descriptions of sexual things that you're like, great, now I got that in my head. And you just walk through life, and the more you walk through life, the more you can hear all of these things that are happening. And that's just the stuff we're trying to avoid. Then there's the stuff that we willingly bring in, right? Like the movies and sitcoms and TV shows and the music. And I mean, just think of all the places where, you know, I mean, but it's fun. It's relaxing. And what are we doing already? Making excuses. We're talking again, right? What he says is this: we have to be quiet, and we have to, says, get rid of the moral filth and evil and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humble is hard, okay? Here's the thing about humble. We are taught, we are conditioned, we are trained to be critical listeners, are we not? I mean, anybody read the internet? You probably don't want to believe everything you're told, right? And we get really, really good at being critical about what we hear, you know, that we listen to it and go, I don't know, that doesn't sound right, right? You know? Yeah. And then we listen to God, and we do it the same way. We don't shut off the critical thing. We hold on to the critical thing. But what the critical thing is when we're talking, when God speaks to us and we're critical, you know what's actually happening there is we begin to judge God's word. Now, how, see the danger there? And you see the difference between being prideful at reading God's word and being humble reading God's word? It means that our job when we read God's word is to open us ourselves up and let that word in. Don't be critical. Understand it. Use your brain to focus on it and understand it and comprehend it and to meditate on it and all those kinds of things, but not in a way that is critical, because it's God's word. We don't have that posture with God's word. We don't criticize. We don't judge. We don't critique. We accept. We bring it in and we meditate on it and learn from it. And he says, this is another one. It's like this. The next thing that you're supposed to do when you receive God's word, you bring it in, you listen to it, you think about it, and then you take it with you. Okay? Now, I understand how this works. Okay? I was a student. And my son is a student at the seminary right now, and he and I joke about this all the time. How, you know, you go to class and you listen to the professor and you write everything down. You have notes, right? And then the test day comes and you memorize all the notes, right? And then the test comes and you write down everything you know. And then you walk out the classroom and you can't remember one thing from that class, right? Because it's all in short-term memory. It's all something that you learned once and right away it's out the door, right? That's what we're not supposed to do at church. That if we come to church and hear God's word and think about it a little bit while we're sitting in the pew, and then just like do the Etch-a-Sketch thing, shake your head and it's all gone, and walk back out into the world again, it says, it's just like somebody who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. And you know what? We're motivated to forget what we look like, okay? Because when we look in the mirror, it's not pretty. You understand? I mean, no, you got to understand this, is that the mirror that guy he's talking about is not like a mirror. I'm not talking about your wrinkles or your face or your makeup or your hairdo or whatever. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about looking at yourself in light of God's law, that perfect, perfect law. And we walk up and we look at ourselves in God's law, and it ain't pretty. It's really not. I mean, we the more you look, the more you don't want to look. And the more you see, the more you would love to forget. I mean, here's the thing, is that we, do you ever think about this? We have an enormous sector of our society, of our economy, called amusement. Do you know what amusement means? A means not, muse means think. Why on earth are we trying so hard not to think? Because if we think, what are we going to have to think about? And wouldn't it be better just to forget about all that and just not think? And that's what God's telling us not to do. He says this, he says, when you look into God's perfect law and you see the mess that your world is, don't run away from it. Don't try to hide from it. Don't try to forget it. Deal with it. And the first thing we need to do when we deal with it is confess it. Bring it to God. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Receive the forgiveness that Jesus has for you. And then when you have God's law, God's word, God's perfect reflection, and you say, and he says, now what? Go out and... But whoever intently looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So here's the thing. Your job... After a sermon, and trust me, sermons are very painful for me. I'm sitting up here almost crying some days because I'm like, oh man, I don't deserve to give these messages. It's not like I've mastered any of this stuff. All I'm doing is passing on what God gave me. And the thing is that we read these things and we see how messed up we are. We see how short we are of his word. We see how, and we take it to the cross. We get forgiven. And then we put God's word into action. We do the very best we can to reflect his word into this world. And guys, I'm telling you what, how well is it going to go if you try to do this all by your lonesome? Not. Which is exactly why he gives us that. This right here, his word, his body and blood. I mean, this meal is exactly what Christians need. You understand the whole cycle of the Christian life, right? We sin, we come to Jesus, we get forgiven. We go back out in the world and we sin, and we come back to Jesus and we get forgiven. This is the Christian life. This is how it is, right? I mean, and if we do really, really well, we can at least feel like we're making some progress, but most likely it ain't much. But we keep trying, right? And the thing is that when this meal is exactly what Christians need in the Christian walk. Shocking that God would give us exactly what we need, right? But nevertheless, this is what we need. It is a meal in which we receive the body and blood of the Lord, and by that receive the forgiveness of sins. You understand, we're getting the forgiveness that Jesus died on the cross for, that comes through faith, but we get it in this meal. And how badly do we need that as Christians? Well, we just established a kind of bad. And then the other part of this meal is that this is our spiritual food. This is like nourishment. This is like food for the crazy journey of life, right? And in this meal, we get strength. I love to tell the story about when the kids were really little and I needed to do a big project in the house and leave tools out and have nails laying on the floor and all the stuff that kids can't have. She would take the kids and go to her mom's house and I would have the house to myself. And about a day and a half into this little arrangement that we had, I would suddenly feel really tired and weak. And I would realize I was so focused on the job that I forgot to eat. If you don't eat, you can expect to get weak and tired, right? Kind of makes sense. This meal is so that we don't get weak and tired. This meal is so that we will have the strength for the journey, so that he will continue his strength, not ours. That he will be our strength. He will be the one who gets us through it. Guys, listen, God has provided for us. We got to be smart enough to take it, you know? I mean, he has given us his word. He's given us the opportunity to gather in this house and to hear his word and to learn his lessons. But if we just let it bounce off of us and do nothing with it, or if we argue with it so that it can't even penetrate, or if we, then what good will it do? But is that God's fault? And so here's what I say. When you guys are getting ready to come to church, and you're sitting in the pew waiting for church to begin, these might be good thoughts in your head. Preparing your heart, preparing your mind, preparing yourself to receive God's word. And when you leave this place and go eat lunch, it might not be a bad idea to at some point near, soon after church, because I mean, let's face it, I understand this too, you know, 3 hours after church, that just gets happened, it's gone, right? So I mean, but the thing is that sometime soon after church, give yourself a chance to actually meditate on whatever it is that God told us that day, so that it is something that we can implement, apply, put into action in our life, and we'll have a chance to get it right. We got a great God. We just have to take him seriously enough to take him seriously, right? So with that, can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God, and give us an amazing word where that would just reveal to us great things that we need to know. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to be shy, not to be scared, not to be put off by the things we see in the mirror of your perfect law, Lord, but that we would embrace the truth and deal with the sin and the muck and the slime and the problems, Lord, that we have made in our lives, receive forgiveness, and then use the strength that you give us, Lord, to put things right. Lord, we pray that you would be with us and walk with us and never leave us alone, just as you have promised to do. So good that you've already done that for us too. Lord, you're an amazing God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time to receive the offering. And as we receive the offering, I ask that you record your attendance. And also then we will continue by singing songs of praise to our God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence this evening, and we know that We only can come here because you have invited us, that you have made us your own, that you came to us and changed us into people who want to follow after you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to do that, Lord, as we, as your Christian people, continue to live in this world, that you would give us opportunities to serve you and serve the people that you love, that we would be able to speak truth. Lord, speak truth, the truth of your gospel to our friends and neighbors, Lord, but also that we would not hide from the truth of your law and the perfect way that you describe this world and the way you want us to act in it. Lord, help us to be able to face that and be able to then receive that forgiveness that you earned for us. Lord, just continue to be with us. And I pray that you'd also be with us, Lord, as we serve together as your church, as your body here in Eureka, that you would give us wisdom to move to do your work, to see the needs that are in front of us, to be able to respond to them and to speak your word into all circumstances so that you and your grace can be known by all. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we continue to educate children and care for them. I pray that you'd be with each and every child of our congregation, Lord, every family. Be with the parents, Lord. Help them to be the leaders, Lord, that you have asked them to be and to educate their children in your ways. I pray that you'd be with our school and the teachers, Lord. Give them constant patience, Lord, and again, words of wisdom that they so that they can continue to raise these children as well. Lord, all these things we come before you and pray, knowing that you hear us, knowing that we depend on you, Lord, not only for our salvation, but for the strength and wisdom to know how to act in this world. Lord, we depend on you for everything, and we know that you are faithful. Lord, all this we pray in your holy name, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Our King, how dear.
Such a God we have. I mean, I often think about it. You know, how many times in the service do we receive the forgiveness of sins? And then at the end, he gives it to us again, only this time in his very body and blood. We leave with the taste of forgiveness on our mouth. And the God who is faithful to do what he has promised to bless us in this meal with his forgiveness. And let this forgiveness, let this meal continue to strengthen you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Wonderful to be with you all again this evening and to have food with you earlier. I just pray that God would continue to bless you all through this through this Lenten season, midweek, Advent, Lent. They all come together in the end. Guys, God's blessings on your week, folks. I'll see you guys in the back.